before we dismiss the young people, Pastor Ben, thank you, Amy. Pastor Ben sent me a text message, and I know they're doing well. They're having a good time vacationing, and he will be back sometime soon, but he did want me to mention Dad Fest. Dad Fest is a big deal. I've been saying that, and it's coming up sooner than you think, and if we want to snatch the interest of dads and families, we don't want to wait until the very last minute, hopefully, because people make plans. So now's a good time to get out and to be encouraging folks to come and be a part. Now, he mentioned that I should encourage you to take some of these flyers and pass them out. And I don't know if there's anybody here in our church staff that knows where more of these are, because there's... Do you? Good. So someone's going to set a bunch more of those out for us on the Hello Hub. Just don't take them for the fun of it, but take as many as you believe you can pass out and make an effort to really reach out on this event. This is going to be great stuff. It's going to be fun, and there's going to be everything that a family could enjoy. Good food, free food, and games and other activities and a message about dads that will honor them. So by all means, take advantage of the materials that they've had made up for us. That is, by the way, a good-looking flyer, don't you think? I'm often amazed at some of the quality that we can produce when it comes to graphic and other arts in this church for just the size church that we are. You should be proud of that. And if you're proud, well, get some and hand these out. All right. Young people, that's for you too. You can take some of those as well. God bless you. Enjoy your evening. We are going to spend some time in the Word. We're going to start. Tonight we're starting in Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to read a good length of scripture here in chapter 14, starting in verse 25. And it says, "Now great multitudes went with him," that is Jesus, "and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.'" Now, I guess I should have warned you, this message has a whole lot of sharp points to it. And you might feel a little uncomfortable from time to time. And I tell you, this particular passage, this scripture I just read, I think is one of the toughest scriptures in the Bible. I mean, this is a hard saying. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Ouch. Verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able to meet with him who comes against him with 20,000? Man. Did I mention I'm looking forward to Father's Day? I'm looking forward to Dad's Fest because it's going to be a great celebration. It's going to honor specifically fathers on Father's Day. And there's no doubt about it. You know, the third Sunday of June is just a great time of mighty rejoicing, right? It's a time of rejoicing, at least for the card makers and the people who sell neckties. It's a big day for them. I'll just set them down on the front row. Thanks. And it'll be a great day for the tool pushers. It's a day when many fathers get a pat on the back and a hearty smile and a word of thanks from their kids. It's a day when children of all ages will show a little appreciation to the man that helped to bring them into the world, even if it was that very same man who on more than one occasion threatened to take them out of it. It's Father's Day. Father's Fest, Father's Day, or Dad Fest is for those fathers and every father, and we want to honor them. But tonight I'm going to talk about fathers in a specific aspect. My message tonight is called the Father's Commitment. The Father's Commitment. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night, and we thank you that you have blessed us in so many ways, and we thank you for the evening that is set before us, how you have already applied your spirit to this meeting, that we are able to enjoy your presence, that we're able to now open the word and receive from you through the message. And I pray that I preach it clearly and with confidence, and that those who are here will have ears to hear. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Father's Day is coming, and we've been talking about fathers. We've been spending a lot of time focusing on the role and the duties of fatherhood. But you know, the multiplied effects of the sexual revolution, coupled with the ease of divorce and an increasingly cavalier attitude in our society about long-term relationships, well, it's really changed the complexion of Father's Day for many people. In alarming numbers, there are, as we've stated here just in the last couple of weeks, there are a number of children who don't even know their father. And then, of course, there's that stepfather and biological father struggles that go on in many households. You know, it used to be that households were stable, that they were, in fact, somewhat predictable. There was an expected norm in society for what a family would be like. But now even mothers in increasing numbers are struggling because they are trying to be both father and mother to the children. You know, it used to be that couples, they would make a commitment for better or worse. Now it seems like it's more like for better or until I change my mind. Now, as we've been contemplating the role of fathers in the last couple of weeks, I hope that you have grown in your appreciation for the necessity and the blessing that a good, godly father brings to the family and to his children. One of the greatest needs of fatherhood that I'm going to focus on tonight is that of commitment. There is tremendous power in commitment. Everybody say commitment. Yeah, see, some people even have a hard time saying that. They have a hard time committing to say commitment. Commitment is a tough word, but there's tremendous power in it. True commitment is the answer to a happier marriage, you know, where it's not just a relationship of drudgery, but instead where you bond in a lifetime partnership with your spouse and you watch it grow and develop into what will be the greatest accomplishment and delight of your life if you remain true. That kind of relationship produces healthier, well-adjusted, mature children. Children that have good work ethics, children who love and respect their parents, and children who love and respect God. See, the benefits of true commitment to the family and to the Lord, well, it's incalculable. It's needed in our society. Now, this message that I'm going to preach, focusing on commitment, it pertains to the family. It pertains to fathers. It pertains to every individual, in fact. commitment applies to all of us. I mean, commitment is a big thing. In fact, it's a big word. 10 letters, count it, 10-letter word. It's a big word. And while just the concept seems simple, it can be extremely difficult to put true commitment into practice. But when you do, the power of commitment is released, and it's transformative. Transformative in every aspect where it is applied. In families, in relationships, in your faith walk. Commitment is the key to longevity. Commitment is the key to success. At the very core of every healthy family is commitment. A total, unalterable, unswerving, lifetime commitment to one another and to God. In fact, when it comes to marriage, I don't know how couples do it without God. I don't know. I just don't understand it. Believe me, I have tried it without God. It didn't work. So tonight I'm going to share principles of commitment. I'm going to share 3 basic principles of commitment. And again, some of these are tough words, and I hope that you are able to receive them in the intention of which they're given. Number one, commitment must be total. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, we read that. I said it was a tough verse. It is a tough verse. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What Jesus is saying here is that anything less than 100% commitment to him is not good enough. It's not good enough. What the Lord requires is not 99.5% commitment. He requires 100% commitment. Now, Jesus in this verse, he says, if you don't hate all other human relationships by comparison to him, okay, he's not saying you need to hate your father and your mother in the literal sense. He's making this a comparison between following after him or being divided in your attention and in your commitment to others, including yourself. In relationship compared to the other relationship in your life, you have to be fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, no relationship in our lives can be more important to our relationship to him. They cannot take precedence. And that is a very difficult thing. I don't know. If you try it, it's difficult. Every father has to come to grips with the fact that God must be first. And in fact, every family, every wife has to come to grips with the fact that in the father's life, in the husband's life, God must be first. It's not that way in a lot of families, but that's what Jesus is saying. If you do not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even yourself by comparison in the relationship that you have to Jesus, you are falling short. So we've got to settle this issue of commitment to Jesus first and foremost. When we've settled our commitment to Christ, then we need to stand on that commitment. And we need to extend that same commitment to our spouse and our family. But it's within the context of our commitment to him. Yeah, I was going to get into math here, you know, because if you're committed 100% to Jesus and you're committed 100% to your family, well, it actually does work if you do it Jesus' way. But I tell you this, anything less than 100% radical commitment to our wives and to our family is insufficient. It's insufficient. In marriage, we have to completely erase any possibility of divorce. that cannot be a part of your relationship, that cannot be a part of your thinking, that cannot be a part of your discussions. You know, I've often said, if you don't say divorce, you can't get divorced. So don't even talk about it. Don't even let it come up in your relationship. You've already made a decision that you are going to be paired together forever. That's the decision you made when you got married. Am I right? I am right. Unless you wrote weird vows. And then I can't help you there. But in marriage, we have to eliminate any possibility of divorce. See, if you step into marriage and you leave the door to divorce, even cracked just a little bit, I tell you what, that is a great weapon in the hands of the devil. And he will use it against you. He will use it against you. Now, I always have to kind of add a little bit of compassion here because I have been divorced. I know what that's like. And I do not recommend it. Obviously, I'm preaching just the opposite, that we need to be committed enough to our relationships that divorce is not an option. See, I learned the hard way how this is supposed to work. So I do understand when there has been divorce and there is forgiveness, as there is in any other area of sin that we might involve ourselves in, but we still must hold firm and fast to the truth of God's word. Amen? Without total commitment, we'll never experience the fullness of marriage that God created the marriage relationship to be. I tell you, one of the reasons that the divorce rate is so high is because people have an escape plan. Should they feel the need, they always kind of leave a little bit of an opening. That door simply has to be closed. And that comes through commitment. When I'm saying you have to be committed, totally committed to God and to your family, to your spouse, I'm talking about there is no option. You don't turn away. There's no plan. That's why I think prenups, they're for the faithless. Prenups are for quitters. Truly. And I know in today's society, it can be a somewhat common thing. Well, you know, I've built this life and now I'm bringing this person in and what if something goes wrong and then I lose half or more of what I've spent all of my life to achieve. Well, that just isn't right. So I need to set up some sort of an arrangement so that if this doesn't work out, then I don't lose everything that I have. Well, then you are not ready for marriage. That is a faithless move. And I'm not even talking about a faithless move as far as being faithless in God. You don't have enough faith in the person that you are joining together in a lifelong commitment to trust that that's not going to be the end of your happy existence someday. And if you don't have that level of trust, I don't care if you're a billionaire, if you're taking somebody else into your life and you're going to claim that I'm going to stay with this person forever and ever, no matter what, then there is no other option. There is no need for a prenuptial agreement. What you need to do is wait until you are confident and wait until you can make that level of commitment. If you aren't willing to put everything on the line, to be 100%, you know, well, I'll be 95% committed. No, if you aren't willing to be 100% committed, you are not ready for marriage. You are not mature enough for marriage. You are not wise enough for marriage. You are not committed enough to marriage. Well, kind of got off on that a little bit, didn't I? Well, let's move on. See, when you say, I commit to you for life, then divorce can never be an option. You are committing to work through all of the difficulties, through all of the tough times. And I tell you this, you gain power against the enemy with that kind of commitment. There's real power in that. When you make a commitment to someone else for a lifetime, and there's no one else, you have eyes for no one else, where there are no other options, that's the kind of commitment that we're looking for. That's the kind of commitment a father needs to have for his wife and for his family. There is no other option. And again, unless you are willing to stand and make that level of commitment, you are not ready for marriage. Do something else. Number two, you guys are going to have to smile somewhere along the line. I don't know. I told you there were some tough spots in this. But you know, commitment is a very serious issue. Number two, commitment is costly. That automatically starts to make you smile, doesn't it? Okay, it doesn't. In our scripture, verse 27, Jesus says, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." See, a cross in one sense is a symbol of hardship. So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of hardship will we have if we're following Christ? Well, you could experience some persecution. No doubt you'll deal with some rejection, right? The world doesn't embrace Jesus Christ. So they're not going to embrace you. If they don't like him, they won't like you. That's part of the plan. And if you follow Christ with a radical, total commitment, there are some people who will reject you, and you will have to accept that. And you're going to have to just move on. You're going to have to realize that's part of the commitment that you have made. Because for you, it's all about following Jesus. It's all about following Jesus. And we don't live for ourselves anymore if we've committed to him. We live for Christ. And he's the one who will form and shape us to his liking. You know, that says, wide is the road that leads to destruction. But his is the narrow road, the road that takes commitment. And then starting in verse 28, Jesus gives an illustration about building a tower. He says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" You have to count the cost. Can I finish my course? Can I follow Jesus Christ all the way to the end? Can I be a faithful husband for the rest of my life? Can I be a parent? The kind of parent that God has called me to be? You have to count those costs before you jump in. See, if you haven't calculated the cost, if you haven't decided that come heck or high water, you'll pay whatever the cost is, then again, you have no business making the commitment. Calculating the cost strengthens the commitment. It helps you. Well, let's see. I want to build a tower. What's it going to take? Well, it's going to take so many bricks. It's going to take some steel. It's going to take a lot of mortar. Now, do I have that much on hand? Is that something I can get my hands on? Can I find other ways to source those materials, or am I going to end up short? You have to count the cost in the same way, not just in your relationship to Jesus Christ. You must count that cost as well. You know, one of the things that I try not to do when I'm witnessing to somebody is have them make a quick decision. You know, I can present the gospel in a way that can be very appealing, and sometimes people are ready to jump in before they really thought through what it is they're jumping into. And when they finally get in and they realize, oh, wait, this isn't quite what I thought it was, or I'm not ready to make these kind of changes. I like the concept of following Jesus, but I really don't want to give up everything in my life that is contrary to his will and his way. See, I don't want people to make a rash decision. Now, sometimes they are just ready. They are ready to go. And that's great. But sometimes, you know, I want to give them some leeway to think their way through the kind of decision that they are making here. It's not a simple, sure, why not? I'm not busy this weekend, okay. No, this is a lifelong commitment. This is something that is going to take every bit of your self to fulfill. And on the same note, when you walk into a church to get married and you stand before witnesses and you say to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, I give myself only to you for as long as I shall live. When you say that is huge. That is a huge commitment. And you need to count the cost. You need to count the cost before you head into that kind of a commitment. That means it's not always going to be easy. It means the days of selfishness are over. You've committed to fully give yourself, and you're going to have to love when it feels good, and you're going to have to love when it doesn't feel so good. See, to get to the mountaintop experiences that you can have in a marriage, you do have to go through some of the valleys. Commitment is a true defining characteristic of a man's life. It's a true defining characteristic of your life. And there are men who keep their commitments, and there are men who don't. I like that ministry that goes back a few years called Promise Keepers, because it was all about men keeping the commitment that they made. What kind of a person are you? Do you keep your commitments? What kind of family do you have? Do you keep the commitments that you make to the family? If you do, there's power there. And if you don't, well, there's heartache and there's heartbreak. Yeah, I promise I'm going to be home early tonight. Are you? Son, I promise I'm going to take you fishing. Do you? I know I said till death do us part, but I'm just not feeling it anymore. You know, I can't play this game any longer. You know, it's easy to make excuses. It takes commitment to be a man of your word. If you make a promise, see it through. There's no respect for a man that does not keep his word. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no respect for a man, and I guess we could say for women too. If you're not going to keep the word, the commitment that you made, why should we respect you? No respect for a man whose life is filled with unfulfilled commitments. Number three, commitment, on that same note, commitment is fulfilled. Commitment is fulfilled. Here in verse 29, Jesus is saying about having the plan to build, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. See, the person that doesn't commit totally, who doesn't count the cost, will not finish the race. They will suffer ridicule and scorn. You know, in 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 years, will we look back at the results of your life and see a real commitment? Will we see a real commitment to Jesus? Will we see a real commitment to your spouse? Will we see a real commitment to your family. I saw somebody I went to high school with shared on Facebook a picture of his parents who were celebrating their 72nd wedding anniversary. Now, wow, is exactly what I said. 72 years of marriage, still going strong. That is commitment. Man, are we going to look at your life in 50 years and go, wow, that's amazing. We respect that. We will praise that. We'll praise Jesus for that kind of commitment. Thank you, Lord, for showing us true commitment and love. Those people didn't desert each other when it got tough. 72 years. I mean, you might be the nicest people in the whole wide world, but 72 years, you got to hit a bump or two along the way. I mean, 72 years. You know, sure, some of us, Sarah and I have been married for 27 years. And we think, it's been lovely. But, you know, who knows? We might get to year 55 and go, I don't know if I can make this any longer. It's going to be commitment is going to get us there. All right. What kind of a commitment or what kind of commitments in your life are we going to see upheld in 50 years? In 1 John 2:19, it speaks of people who made a commitment, but they didn't fulfill it. Here's what it says. It's talking about other believers. And you know, this can apply to many churches. We can testify from our past church leadership experience that these kind of people are really out there. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They didn't have a commitment. But they went out that they might be made manifest or be shown that none of them were of us. There are a lot of people, and in fact, there were, well, I don't want to say necessarily a lot of people, but there were individuals who would come to us and say, Pastor, we really love it here. This is great. This is the best thing. We are here forever. We are with you for life. And Sarah would always go, uh-oh. Because I won't say in every case, but in a lot of cases, that was a precursor to, see ya. Something came up that just struck them the wrong way, and that commitment was so frail and so phony that it didn't take them through that one little bump. I'm telling you, there are people who say they're with you, but will they be? I tell you, it's enduring to the end that shows genuineness of a profession of faith and real commitment. Jesus Christ is very interested in us finishing what we start. Did you get that? Jesus is very interested in seeing us finish what we start. Jesus is looking for finishers in a world full of quitters. Finishers are hard to find. Finishers are hard to find. Starters are a dime a dozen. It's the finishers that are hard to find. Commitment is powerful when you have the mind and the heart to finish what you started. Follow through. Keep going. Stay on track. You know, and that works for parents too. Parenting is staying on track. Successful parenting is not just getting your kids through high school, right? Successful parenting, well, that's a job for 100 years. You know, you might think, wow, we made it through those 18 years. Whew, got that done. No. You're still a parent. And you will be for 100 and 150 and 200 years. Well, Pastor, I don't think I'm going to be around that long. No, no, you probably won't be. But your children will, or your grandchildren will, or their grandchildren will. And you may not get to know some of them, or even most of them, but they will know you. You hear me? They will know you. They will know what kind of life you lived. And they will know what kind of opportunity you created for them. They will know if you were a man or a woman of commitment. They'll know if you laid a solid foundation for them in Jesus Christ, or if what you left behind was just shifting sand. What we do affects the next generation and the next and the next. And commitment will make the difference. You know, kings that defend their kingdom only up until the point when hardship comes along, they don't have a kingdom for very long. People who follow Jesus only until persecution or rejection, or until they grow weary of the pursuit of holiness, well, those kind of people, they honestly just don't follow Christ very long at all. When you're considering marriage, if you don't mean forever, then don't say I do. Leave it alone. I believe a commitment unfulfilled is worse than no commitment at all. In fact, Ecclesiastes 5:5 says that. It says, better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Better not to say, I'm going to do something and then not follow through. Better not to get married and then than to get married and not stay married. You get my drift. For fathers, and really for all of us, we need to commit to those things that are worthy of our commitment. We need to commit to our Lord because He's worthy of our commitment. We need to commit to our spouses because they are worthy of our commitment. Oh, yeah, but you don't know my... Yeah, I do. And I know Jesus knows them too. And you made a commitment. And you can fulfill that commitment with the help of the Lord. Hey, nobody said it's always easy. In fact, I think I've pretty made that clear tonight. It's not always easy, but it's the committed people that make it happen. Nothing of significance ever came out of half-hearted commitment. In your marriage, in your family, in your relationship with Jesus, in your church, make a total commitment. I mean, calculate the cost before you jump in wholeheartedly. Calculate the cost. But once you've calculated that cost, make that commitment. Make that commitment or just get out of the way. Go find somewhere else that you can be committed to, or find somebody else that you can be committed to. But if you can't calculate the cost and fully commit, don't. Commit. Do it for your children. Do it for yourself. Do it for the Lord. Amen? Father, I pray that tonight's message would sink deep, that we would be people of commitment, people who are not wishy-washy, people who are not starters but then quit, but people who start and walk faithfully and finish the race that you have called us to, that bring glory to your name through a solid commitment to you and your lordship. Lord, help and strengthen us. Show us by your Spirit areas where we need to strengthen our own commitments. where we have fallen short of fulfilling the necessities of commitment. And help us do it in love as a testimony to the love that you have shown us and the commitment you made to us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A father's commitment. Next Wednesday, I'll have another message, a father's calling. Hope you'll be here for that. And then it's going to be Father's Day. All right. Glad you could come tonight. I hope that you got a little something out of that message. If you have a need for prayer, we're here. We are believers. We can lay hands and pray for you. Otherwise, you are officially dismissed from the service.